Would you call up a complete stranger and ask for prayer, maybe telling them about what you're going through? Well, that is what we're going to be diving into today for something called the Prayer Center. You're listening to the 100 Huntley Street podcast with Greg Musselman, and this is Cheryl Weber.
Well, I'm glad to be here and I'm looking forward to this. You know, I was thinking about prayer, and we're going to have Junior Smith, our digital pastor, on in, you know, a couple of minutes here and go, what is a, you know, digital pastor? Well, I'm going to ask Junior that question. But you know, really, what is the heart of 100 Huntley Street for 4.5 decades, and even Crossroads when it began 60 years ago, was prayer. And David Maines and Norma Jean, their vision was it would be two-way television, so people could communicate and through the prayer center. And so years and years ago, a guy named Gary Lefebvre, you may remember that name, he was a former CFL, Canadian Football League player, started the Circle Square Ranch in Alberta, but he also ran the prayer center in Edmonton. And I remember going down and they were in a, you know, in an office space. It's, you know, things are very different now. They had prayer centers all across Canada. And so people would sit in a room with those phones. Remember those phones that you'd actually plug into the wall?
Oh, right. Yeah, that you had to actually be near and you couldn't walk anywhere with it.
You couldn't walk and you had to actually put your finger in and dial the numbers. Remember that?
Yes, I know. There's a great Ellen episode actually on that with millennials giving them one of those phones and they can't figure out how to operate it. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
I know. I actually did see that on YouTube. It's hilarious. So, but when we look at how things have changed and how we're communicating, you know, texting and, you know, just all the various, you know, apps that people can communicate literally all over the world. I mean, I can talk to a friend in Pakistan or Nigeria on an app. And so we wanted at Crossroads to make our prayer lines more accessible to people right across the country. And we get, what, 1,400 calls
every day.
When I tell people that, they're like often surprised, like, really? Because there's a lot of people in need.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's 24 hours a day, day or night that you can call. And, you know, I think this, having that resource, sometimes you don't want to talk to anybody about what you're going through. You know, it's embarrassing or you don't want them to judge you or you don't, or you're protecting someone's confidentiality that's in your life or that you're struggling with. So actually the opportunity to anonymously call someone up and talk to them about what you're going through is an incredible opportunity. And I always think there's no reason that anyone should ever feel alone. You know, I went to talk to people during the 2010 Olympics. One ministry was offering free prayer. They were going around the street, just coming up to strangers and saying, hey, you want prayer? And so I went, I decided, hey, I'm going to go out to Commercial Drive in downtown Vancouver, which, you know, is like a really great mix of interesting people.
Oh, for sure.
And just talk to them about, like, would you, if a stranger came up to you and offered free prayer, what would you say? And I would say the majority of people were super open to it, a little cautious about like being a certain worldview being forced on them. But the idea of just having someone pray for them, they loved it.
I think it's a great thing and it's a great opportunity. And I don't know about, you know, we're going to talk to Junior in a couple of moments here, but most people won't refuse prayer. We even did some experiments, if you want to use that term, back where I live in St. Albert, Alberta, and went to a hockey arena. And we were just, you know, we'd be watching the game. You know, one of the parents, you know, part of our little church group was, you know, son was playing hockey. And we just kind of figure out, okay, like, is the Lord kind of directing maybe to go pray for that person? Now, if it was a woman, I would get one of the other girls to come with me because, like, hey, can I pray for you? Like, what are you?
Who
are
creepy
you?
Old man. Yeah, well, young man, I mean.
Yeah, young man. Yeah, yes, young. Yeah, emphasize the young, right?
Yes.
But people were open. And it's amazing as you're praying, the Holy Spirit will often give you a word for them and they'll say, how did you know that? You know, so prayer is a wonderful thing. And in most cases, you know, people are open to prayer, especially if you're flying and there's turbulence on the airplane and you see the person looking, you know, next to you going, hey, do you mind if I pray for you? You know, in case this plane goes down.
Yes.
So, but prayer really is the engine of all that we do at Crossroads.
It absolutely is. And we're going to dive into not only what we do on our prayer lines, but what are people calling in about? What are those conversations? Have we ever seen an answer to prayer? Junior has all of this information for us. You're going to love meeting him, Junior Smith. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Okay, Junior Smith, the digital pastor at Crossroads. Junior, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
We just absolutely love you. And I wish this was television because we could see how, hey, Cheryl, I mean, the guy is always impeccably dressed.
Always. Like, actually, it's stressful, you know, when he comes on the show on 100 Huntley Street because you got to level your game up when Junior's around.
He's
you know
always,
what I'm saying?
He's always the best dressed guy, at least the best dressed male. I'm not speaking on behalf of my female friend.
You'll get yourself in trouble if you ever do that.
But it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
So, Junior, I want to give a little bit of background talk about a little bit about your history and how you became a believer. I know you have strong Christian roots.
I'm the son of a pastor. My dad hasn't always been a pastor. I'm Jamaican. I was born there. And I grew up in the church. That means every service that the church has, I'm there. So I was a part of the Sunday school, the children's choir, whatever they had in church. That was our place to go. We wouldn't go to the park to play soccer. We had to go to church.
Wow.
So I grew up having, you know, kind of the shelter of my parents' anointing and even living through their own experience, because they're going to church, I'm going, not necessarily yet for me. But at the age of about 15, 16, I remember thinking, if I'm going to be a part of this, I need to have an experience of my own. Hmm. And I talked to God about it. And I felt him revealing himself to me in different ways. I call them small poles along the way, like, you know, little signs here where he'll say something to me and I see it becoming a reality. So I knew he was trying to communicate with me, and I got baptized. And, you know, as all Christians do, I had my up and down moments, but I stuck with it. And I really, really have fallen in love with Jesus over time.
So prayer, was that a big part of it? I mean, I'm asking a question, I kind of already know the answer, but prayer was a big part of what you were seeing, you know, from your parents and those around you.
My dad woke us up at 5 a.m. It was the most annoying thing ever to be awoken by my dad. He's blaring, and he's not just saying these little simple prayers. He's loud. If you are 12 houses away, you can hear my dad at 5 a.m. Wow. He's waking up the entire community, and he's praying for the neighbors. He's praying for his children. He's just praying for a lot of people. He would repeat the Psalms. I knew Psalm 91 before I was 10.
Wow.
And I didn't read the thing. I just knew it because my dad would pray that over himself. He would do lots of the Psalms, Psalm 1, Psalm 27. So hearing him praying growing up, I didn't even understand what he was doing, but I was surrounded by prayer. And he would wake us up, but after when he wakes up and he's praying, everybody's awake, but then we would all have to get together at 6, 7 a.m. for our family devotion. And we did that for years.
So, yeah, I was going to say, so prayer is in the DNA.
Prayer is definitely in the DNA.
Okay, so you hated being woken up at 5 a.m.
I did.
And being forced to pray.
I
and
did.
Then you said, hey, how about if I make this my career?
I know, right? So here I am many, many years later, and I'm thinking prayer worked. In my years of going to school, and at the top, Greg mentioned that the Spirit of God tends to nudge you, and he says things, and I can't always explain how that works, but I just know he sometimes just drops these nuggets, and somebody says, how do you know? Because I saw these manifestations through my dad. We'd be going to school, and he would warn us against accidents or certain things, and then they happen, and my brother and I would be dumbfounded to say, how did he know that that would happen? And so I had sort of a reverence for my dad, and I lost him recently. But even in his absence, there are just certain things I'm not scared of, because I do believe that my dad's prayers still watch over me. And he was that kind of guy that you don't want to mess with, because he's not going to grab a baseball bat. He's going to pray for you. And so I understood, even in spiritual warfare, I understood the importance of praying over our ourselves and over other people, and it's powerful.
So do you get up at 5 a.m. and wake your kids up?
I don't, Greg, I don't. But we have a routine. I have a 10-year-old and a 4-year-old, and we have a routine every night. And even when I'm not home, we either do a quick FaceTime or I call my wife's phone and she puts it on speaker, because they're not going to bed until we pray together. And they don't want my wife to do it. They say, where's dad? So I take pride in that, and I go by their bedside and we'll do Bible stories and they ask their questions, and then they do their prayer however they want to say it, And then I pray over them and for the family too.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I absolutely love that. I remember prayer times with my dad and Bible memorization, and we had to go through the books of the Bible. And it's so foundational to me that mm-hmm. there are things like you that I know, not because I've learned it even, but it was like literally in my DNA, like scripture that just pops out of me. Sometimes I don't even know where it is in the Bible, mm-hmm. but it's just because I grew up like hearing it all that time. What a legacy. And you bring all of that here to Crossroads and 100 Huntley Street with your work as a digital pastor. And, you know, I think our prayer center is the most important thing we do here. 100%. We are helping people all over the world. So help people understand who never heard of this before that we have this resource. What is the prayer center? What do you do?
The best thing, the best way to describe the prayer center, I believe, is to say it's a spiritual 911. So it's always available. There are prayer warriors who are on the other side of the phone lines, and we're in a little room kind of like in cubicles, and we have our headphones on and a phone in front of us and a computer. We have a few tabs open, maybe a Bible and other stuff that has resources, and people call us from around the world, and the needs vary. And one of the things about the prayer center is you can't be prepared for the next call, because you just don't know when you say Crossroads, Junior speaking, how may I pray with you? You just don't know what you're going to get. And so we have to be open to just allowing the Spirit of God to lead us. So the prayer center is the 911, the spiritual 911. And what I do is, and before I get into what I do, I was on a part of the prayer lines for over 5 years, where I was on the night shift.
Yeah, you were like kind of midnight to six, yes, or something like that?
I would come in at midnight.
Wow.
And I would be on the phone lines until 8
in
the morning.
Wow.
And the phone lines rang all night long.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm not going to pretend like I wasn't physically exhausted. It was really tiring, but thank God for the team and our, you know, our unity and our synergy, everything together that keeps going. And every night we come in, we pray for each other, we take breaks, we pray over each other. When there's a hard call that somebody gets, we pause and we pray for them. So it is worth it. It's worth it. The commitment, the resilience of these prayer partners, their love for Jesus to listen to a complete stranger. And Cheryl, too, at the top mentioned that, asked the question, would you call a stranger? What I find is that many of the calls I get them because people don't know me. And they know that I don't know them. And it's really hard to judge someone you don't know. And of course, the Crossroads prayer line is a non-judgmental zone where it matters how, it does not matter what the need is. When you call, you will experience the love of Jesus through a kind voice. And behind that kind voice is a personality that also had an experience with Jesus. And they have their own faults. They also have their own needs. But for that moment, they are suspending that, and you are the main focus. So whatever your issues might be, and I've heard from suicide to separation to molestation to demon possession to loss of job to loss of income, abortion, you name it, we've heard it. But at the end of expressing all of that, the anonymous idea of calling the prayer center, somebody will hang up and say, thank you. Thank you for being there. And what I always let people know is that we are in seasons in our lives. And this might be a very rough season. And God never promised us a smooth sailing at all times. He says, when you go through the waters, I'll be with you. So know that you're in the thick of the mud. This is the time when God is embracing you. And this might be a very challenging season, but even challenging seasons change. It won't last forever.
I was thinking something, Pastor Tony Evans, you're familiar with him. And
love him.
Yeah, down in Texas. And he talks about how we're either going in a storm, or coming out of a storm.
Yes.
And so when you talk about the various seasons of life, all of us have had, you know, those times where we just felt like, hey, things are going really, really good. and then something happens. Now, I was going to ask you, in terms of the calls, the most intense calls, or, you know, maybe the suicidal, somebody's talking about that, or they've gone through some financial thing or marriage breakup, whatever it might be. Do those tend to come at night more so, or is it just kind of, I know there's many time zones we're dealing with in Canada and around the world, but is it in the night when people are often lonely, maybe by themselves, that they're struggling, that they'll pick up the phone?
I do believe that's a very great point. And I can only speak to the night shift. I did cover a few afternoon shifts, never done a day, but I can really speak to the night. That's where my experience is. And I do believe these instances are heightened. The emotions are heightened when you are trying to sleep, but the issues of life are over your head like two pot covers just playing, and you're trying to sleep, and most people will say, will you pray with me so I can fall asleep? Mm-hmm. Because I can't shut my mind off. And that happens to me sometimes if I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah, me too as well.
I'm up, and I've thought even before coming here that I think I might call one of these prayer lines, because these people don't know me. And I might not want to tell my friends or my sister or my brother what I'm going through, you know, for fear of what they might think. Mm-hmm. But I'll take the risk to tell a stranger. And when I hang up, the stranger doesn't know where I am. And even if the stranger tells her cousin later, I don't know.
And you don't have to give your real name.
You don't have to. In fact, what I do ask is, what would you like me to call you as I pray for you? Because I love when I'm praying, I say, Lord, I'm bringing your daughter Cheryl to you, for example. I know you love Cheryl. So when I say your name, I want to make it central to you. So when I ask the name, it is not to be inquisitive and to identify who you are. You can say your share. Say your name, Cheryl Weber. You know, I'm Cher. Call me Cher. It doesn't matter. I just wanted to make it personal that we're having a real life connection here. You're important to me in this moment. And so by mentioning your name, you know, it really connects.
Well, this is so beautiful. I think I have to walk off the show right now to call the prayer lines, because you've made it sound so welcoming. I'm like, I would love somebody to pray for me like that. Junior, I love what you guys do. It's so important. And you know, I think sometimes people call in and they get that prayer, but they need a little bit more spiritual help in their life. Maybe they're new on the journey, or maybe they just realize that they need better grounding in their faith and they want to know more. And I know we often direct people to churches. That's a big part of what we do. But we also have something called the Walk of Faith. Mm-hmm. What is that?
The Walk of Faith is, to paint a picture, it's walking and holding somebody's hand along the journey. And that journey is discovering Jesus. Mm-hmm. So here's one example. You call the prayer line, and maybe you've slipped up or you've stepped away from your faith for a while. And you say, I really love Jesus. And I think I want to recommit and, you know, start over. And we pray with you, and I say, it was really wonderful, you know, reconnecting you with Jesus. But it's important for you to now become his disciple. Mm. And so while we try to connect you with a local church, we have a program, a Walk of Faith discipleship program. It's discipleship or mentorship, where we connect you with a dedicated, trained mentor who's there, an experienced Christian, who can be your spiritual godmother or your spiritual godfather. Mm. So as you're going through life and you're struggling in your faith, you can send them a message and you get a message back with a devotional, with you know, a link, a prayer, a few questions. Somebody is there to walk with you. And at the end of my email, if I ever send you an email, what you will get is my name, my title, and then that I'm committed to connect you with Jesus and take you from where you are, not necessarily where I want you to be. So you come as you are. Wow. And I would hope that you are open to the Holy Spirit to change you, because he is in the business of changing people, transforming them to become like him. And so I'm willing to take you from where you are, not necessarily what I want you to be, because at the end of the day, it's never about me or any of the prayer partners, but it's about you and what God specifically has for you. And so the mentor is there to walk you through, to discover God's purpose for your life and also teach you the foundational truths of the scripture.
And it's not just through the phone lines that people can connect. We also, of course, have email. prayercrossroads.ca.
Right.
And also the chat.
The chat.
To explain that.
So if you go to any of our websites, crossroads.ca, if you go to 100huntley.com, and I think we have other websites, See Here Love, all of these are plugged in. There's a small chat at the right-hand corner at the bottom of the screen, and also on mobile devices. And if you go there and type in those messages, they come to a platform called Intercom, and I get those messages. So I can talk to you in real time. Or if, for example, after midnight, because there's only one junior now, if you leave a message, you receive a response, an automatic response that says someone will get back to you, and I often do in the morning. So there are those, and there's also, you know, Instagram. We do have someone here at 100 Huntley Street now that connects and interacts with people on Facebook, and when she gets these messages, we have a connection that she will send me some messages as well, and I'll provide her communication or a response to those.
Oh, you're so good at it, Junior, and we're so thankful for you. I know that you've brought with you some stories of, you know, how God is working. Like, do you see answers to prayer on the prayer line?
There are always answers to prayers, and what we ask people to do, and I think in the future we're going to do better at it, to say, let us know what God is doing in your life. So we're going to be intentional in asking people to share their impact stories. Because Susan, and I'm changing these names because we want to, respect the privacy.
Sure.
She called in with a praise report. And a praise report would be an impact statement. When you call the prayer line and God does something in your life and we want to hear about it. She went through a divorce. And these are things we hear about all the time. But the good news is that she called the prayer line about her divorce. She wasn't ready to give up on her marriage. Her husband had moved out, and she was there, just herself and her family, called the prayer line, and she wanted to share with us that both of them are so thankful for God's presence and God's interaction in their lives, and they're thankful for the prayerful support of Crossroads throughout the process. Because what happened is that the husband came back home, and they reconciled, and they have credited Crossroads Prayer Ministries for that to happen. And the prayer partner who took this note said, she's such a beautiful woman of God and is so thankful for her husband's return to his right mind. And she says to God, to his return to God and his wife and family. So not just to the family, but he's also returned to God. She was so excited to share this beautiful news and this answer to prayer. So yes, God answers prayer. Wow. He intervenes, he interacts in marriages. He changes minds. And sometimes I remember praying for people and they want to say, I wish God would do such and such. And what I would say is, God can speak to the mind and the heart of that brokenness.
Right.
Your husband separated. He's not there right now. And maybe he doesn't want to be prayed for. But I'm praying for you in faith. And what I ask is that you just trust that God can do stuff. You can't get into your husband's head, but God can get into his head, his heart, and into his emotions and transform him and remove whatever those issues are that is causing the breakdown. And so for me, it excites me to read these impact statements when they do come through.
And that's got to be encouraging to you and your team, because you're hearing a lot of hard stuff.
Yes.
Disappointing. And we live in this instant culture. We want everything now. Mm-hmm. So one and done, pray, God answer the prayer. But it is, for many situations, it's an ongoing process. And is that how you try to encourage people? Like, look, God answers prayer. We know that. We just don't know the timing. And
yes.
And we have to help people to understand that, or they get discouraged.
Yes. And I stand corrected if I'm off base here. But what I've said to people is that prayer is a two-way connection. It's between you and God, but prayer is also yours. And what I mean by that is the prayer is yours in that when you pray about a situation, sometimes God is not too interested in changing the situation until he changes you. And many times when you change, the situation changes because our outlook on how things are. And when we look through the spiritual lenses of the scripture to say that all things work together for good, then when we are going through certain things, we don't panic. And so we don't think that God is absent because we know that, listen, God is here. When you think about Job and the story of Job, I'm fascinated by the book of Job and how he wasn't okay. He never cursed God, but Job was upset. He had some choice words. He just wanted to be annihilated. And he had all kinds of things to say. He wanted to disappear. He never charged God for wrongdoing. God was quiet because he was working on Job. And it was when Job recognized, after God questioned him close to the end of the book, "Let me know how I put all the galaxy together. Can you cause this color to match this color? Can you do this to the trees and the birds?" And when Job realizes that these theological questions are outside of his sphere, he says, "Oh my goodness, you are really God." And it's when he realizes that it's about God is there, he's sovereign, he doesn't change, but he wants to change us in our situation. And so that is what I want people to leave from the when they call the prayer center, that we don't know how God will answer your prayer. But in the midst of your waiting, it can be less frustrating if you just know that God is sovereign and everything that happens to you has to go through the divine fingers of God, and the enemy cannot come across your border unless God gives him permission. And I want to add too, he has to do that within the perimeters of God's word, because God said to Satan, "You can touch Job, but you can't take his life." So when God says, "You know what? You can go and test Greg, but," he has to stay within the limits that God gives him. And we don't know how God will answer your prayer, but one thing I'm sure of is that God answers prayer. And sometimes he changes you. And because he changes you, the situation changes because your perspective changes.
Yeah. And the one thing that we need to know, and what I've learned, is that even though you don't understand what's happening right now or why God's answering in a certain way, we can trust that he is good, that our heart to us is good, that his love is secure, that he will never leave us. And I think in those moments, we have to hang on to that. And it's been something I've learned. And a lot of these things you figure out when you look back at your life, you're like, "Oh, that's what he was doing.
Yes.
But in the moment, you never see it. Oh, there's so much more we could unpack here, but we are out of time. So I just want to give those numbers to you. If you've been listening and going, "Man, I wish I could connect with somebody who sounds as lovely as Junior here." Well, hey, you can. You could do it right now. So grab a pen and write this down. 1-866-273-4444. That's our 24-hour, 7-day-a-week prayer time. You can call Christmas Day. You can call, you know, in the middle of the night, whenever you want. There will be somebody there to pray with you. You can also send an email, prayer@crossroads.ca. That will get prayed over. Or as Junior said, go to crossroads.ca, little chat icon on the bottom right corner there. You can chat with our digital pastor, ask your questions, get prayer in chat. I mean, there's a million ways to get prayer. You are never alone. Junior, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's my joy. Absolutely.
Yeah,
anytime.
We appreciate you, and it's always good to see you. And you're always smiling, and we'll be praying. We continue to pray for you because
thank you.
And you and your team, because we know you're the frontline workers. And I know when Cheryl, myself, Laura, or Mark, when we look in the camera and other hosts, that we know that they're going to be connecting with people. Again, we say they're not professional in the sense that they're not trained psychologists, but we have amazing resources. We can direct people to the right places if it is, you know, a suicide hotline, those kinds of things, or abuse issues. And so, again, we appreciate you, and we'll continue praying for you. And we're just so, you know, delighted that you're a part of our team.
Thank you so much.
Well, that was such a great conversation with Junior. When I was listening to him talk about the prayer center and the love and the acceptance and the safety and the way that they pray and just the way he talked about it, I was like, I was not kidding. Like, I want to call the prayer lines now. And I never do, I guess, because I think they're going to go, "Oh, I know that voice. That's Sherwin. And you have problems?" We all have problems, right, Greg? Is that ridiculous?
It is ridiculous. And I think, and again, I don't want to be hard on people, but, you know, like, I know in my case, let's say my case, pride. you know, if I was to call the prayer lines, hello, this is Jerry, you know, hey, is that you, Greg? You know, because all of us have needs.
Yeah.
I mean, when we're doing our, you know, 100 Huntley Street, or, you know, you're traveling or I'm traveling, we're praying for each other. We're encouraging each other. You know, we come in and, you know, into work and to do our, you know, hosting here at 100 Huntley Street, we're not always in the best space. You know, something may have happened, you know, difficulty with family or friends. So there's always something going on, yeah. And we need that prayer. And I think one of the things that we try to do on 100 Huntley Street is to demystify God. He is a heavenly Father. He loves us. He's Abba Father. And he just wants to have a conversation. You know, how should I pray? You know, I don't know how to pray. You know, do I have to speak in King James language, or, you know, change my voice or something?
How would that sound? Yeah. Do a King James
Thou prayer. Thouest God of heaven. You know, no, you don't have to do. You can if you want, but I would just say, you know, Lord, and respectful. Like, there's a healthy fear of the Lord, an awe of God, but not like terrified. And you come to him because, you know, he loves you and he has your best interest at hand, my best interest, and all those listening. He cares and loves us. So we come to him and say, you know, Lord, I'm struggling and my anxiety is through the roof, or I'm, you know, there's something happening with one of my kids or friends or job or whatever it might be. And you just tell the Lord. And I, you know, I've been a Christian more than, you know, following Jesus for more than 40 years. And sometimes I forget that. I got to figure this out. I got to work it out. Mm-hmm. I just need, you know, to pray. And sometimes you just need somebody to pray for you,
yeah.
You know, because you're just finding it difficult to say the words, or I don't even know if I believe God will answer my prayer. That's why we do have our prayer lines.
No, and sometimes I'm actually worrying about something and I think that I'm praying because God and I are always in conversation, and then I realize, nope, that was just worrying, Cheryl. That is not going to really get the job done. But I do love, like, I see a lot of people who don't want to pray in public because they feel like, or even just don't even want to pray because they feel like, I don't know the formula or I don't have the right words. And I think maybe in the past in church, we might've given that impression. And I think it's time to tear that down. I mean, God just wants to hear from us, and he just needs us to be honest and communicate and tell him how we're feeling and ask for his help. And he loves it.
He does love it. And, you know, we would be remiss if we didn't give those prayer lines one more time out. 1-866-273-4444. And again, like as Junior was talking about, you don't have to use your, you know, real name. And if we do share the stories, we always change the names, and we, you know, because privacy matters. And if you want to go one step further in terms of protecting your, you know, your privacy, your identity, you can always email us at prayer@crossroads.ca. And something that's been newer in the last few years is our chat line. We're talking about that. You know, you go to crossroads.ca/24/7prayer. And it's also interlinked with all the other shows that we do at Crossroads, including 100 Huntley Street and See Hear Love, and all the shows that we're doing, because we do so believe in prayer, and people have needs, and we want to be there for people.
Yeah, I hope you're encouraged today to pray, to use that resource. And the truth is, and if you take one thing from this whole show, it's that whatever you're facing, you don't have to go through it alone. A lot of times we feel isolated. We feel like nobody understands us. We feel like nobody cares or sees us. That's a lie. This resource is here for you because God loves you, and he's inspired people with that love to be there for you and reach out to you. So I hope you're inspired by that today. This is Greg Musselman, Cheryl Weber, signing off the 100 Huntley Street podcast.
Thank you for your ongoing support of Crossroads, a supporter-funded nonprofit organization and member of the Canadian Centre of Christian Charities. Thanks to faithful people like you, we are able to continue producing 100 Huntley Street. You can write to Crossroads, P.O. Box 5100, Burlington, Ontario, L7R4M2, or visit crossroads.ca to learn more about our programs.